All right, well, somebody who I know could help me learn to hit a little bit longer is Jane Broderick from down at PGA National, one of the greatest instructors ever and getting ready to host the Honda Classic. Jane, welcome back into the golf shop.
Thank you so much.
Did I oversell you a little? No?
Well, I'm a legend in my own mind. You know that.
No, hey, you know, you're a legend in more places than between your ears. So tell us how you guys are getting ready for this event. We, you know, a lot of folks... You know, every golf fan seems to have a different sense of when the beginning of the golf season is. Some are buying into this whole crap around season thing. I'm not. I'm usually a wait until they get to Hawaii kind of guy, and some folks are in the middle of the West Coast swing, maybe with waste management. But especially for East Coast golf fans, you're it. We come east for the Honda Classic, and that's when the golf season begins for 2016. So give us a sense of what you guys are doing to get ready for this huge event.
Well, obviously, the first and foremost thing is to get the golf course ready with the tournament prep, working with the tour agronomy people and making sure that the rough is the right height, the green speeds are right, the fairway widths are appropriate. So that's first and foremost. And then, of course, about 12 weeks ago, we started the build-out of all the skyboxes and bleachers and viewing stands and retail tents for the event. So it really, for us, it starts in December. And that's when the pedal hits the metal, and we hit the ground running right then, and we focus on the event, but we also have to keep the other golf courses in top-notch shape as well.
Well, and you guys are under, you know, tremendous pressure to do that every day with the number of rounds that get played on those courses, and you're used to big crowds. Does the build-out for the tournament, is it transformative to those of you who are there every day as you see the course coming to shape and they're putting up the skyboxes and they're putting up the TV towers? Does it get you all right there who are there every day excited about it, or does it seem like another, you know, just another thing that you have to do every year?
No, this is definitely one of the main highlights of the year. The energy in the air, the membership support is tremendous, the volunteer support from the community. Every single day it gets more and more exciting. And, you know, we turned the golf course over yesterday at noon to the PGA Tour, and the golf course was packed full from 7:30 until noon. But now it's the tour's golf course to manage and handle, and we're here to support, but we also keep the other golf courses in full operation during the tournament.
Now, when they come in, and they've been in there, they being the agronomy guys and the course setup guys from the PGA, they've been there many, many times. Have you seen changes in how they approach course setup over the years?
They've been pretty consistent, in fact, in the fact that they like that the Champion golf course plays fairly difficult for the guys, but they never want to make it unfair. So they keep abreast of where we are with the rough height, the green speed. There have been times, you know, believe it or not, we've actually had to slow the greens down. So they take into account the wind, the weather, and the actual playing conditions in their course setup. And it does vary not only from year to year, but from day to day within an actual tournament.
Well, and we're talking to Jane Broderick from PGA National and the Honda Classic. I imagine you spend a lot of time looking at the 10-day forecast and can't wait until it actually shows up and you can see what you're facing. What does it look like the weather's going to be for the week?
As of right now, it looks like we're going to get a little rain on Tuesday, maybe. The guys playing in the Gold Pro-Am will need to bring some rain gear, but that's not definite. And then after that, the cool front that's coming through is supposed to move out, sunny skies, great conditions, and our traditional prevailing winds.
Now, will the rain midweek help for the, you know, for the tournament on the weekend?
Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of we've had so much rain in November and December. We are looking for a stretch where we can just dry things out and really make them firm and fast for the guys. Depending on how much rain we get midweek, it could help, or it actually could make the golf course play a little bit easier.
Well, all right, Jane, so if the weather plays out the way we anticipate, and it's a pretty typical Florida, you know, late February week of golf, are there players whose game, you know, historically, you know, set up better for this course than others? I mean, what kind of skill set are we looking for as fans as we look at, you know, maybe who to watch on the leaderboard?
Well, I mean, quite honestly, you know, as Ernie L. said years ago, this golf course requires major championship-type shots. So, you know, you've got to have someone that has, you know, the drivers working, and they've got to have some good, accurate second and approach shots. So the greens themselves are not tricked up in any way. They're very straightforward. So it really goes down to who can keep it in the short grass and who can keep it out of the lakes.
Oh, well, that doesn't bode well for my pick, Phil Mickelson. But he can recover from the long stuff. He just can't recover from lakes.
Right. That's what can jump up and grab you here. That's for sure.
Uh-oh. So my pick, Phil Mickelson, could be in trouble if he can't keep it in the short stuff. Well, I may have to rethink my pick.
I'm rooting for our local boy, Brooks Koepka.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. So Molly's on the board today, Jane. Too many women in here. I'm very confused. So you're going to be busy. I understand that. But if you weren't, if you were able to go spend the entire 4 days as a spectator, where would I find you standing?
You would find me on the brand new public pavilion on number 15 green, which gives a tremendous vantage point of the approach to 12, the tee shot on 13, mm-hmm. the approach into 14, and then, of course, the whole hole of 15, and then tee shot on 16. It is by far the best viewing space we have.
So as I'm watching on TV, I suspect there's a TV tower or two in that area?
Most definitely.
And is that where we can expect to see some movement on the leaderboard, both good and bad? I'm kind of into carnage. Where can I see some carnage?
Oh, you can definitely see some carnage start on 15 and continue on 16 and 17.
All right, so we're going to be watching. We're going to be keeping up. But you're also, you know, in addition to being a top-notch instructor and a leader over there at PGA National, you're also involved in a new foundation. I think Molly has a question for you about your foundation.
Yeah, your foundation is called How Big Is Your Brave? What all does that entail, and what does that mean to you?
Well, it all stemmed from the fact that both of my parents who have passed, but they were cancer survivors, and coming from a small town and having such a great family, I was always taught to give back. So got together with some friends of mine. The name How Big Is Your Brave kind of popped into my head one day, so I went ahead and trademarked it, and we have formed the foundation. And our goal is to provide wellness services for cancer patients and their families in a very upbeat and friendly manner, but also in a certified well building, meaning that the lighting, the air quality, and everything else is really focused in on wellness.
Well, and I think Molly's microphone just got turned off. So what kind of things are you guys doing to raise funds and awareness of the foundation?
Well, our first event is actually along with the Treasure Coast Marathon in early March, where we'll have a support group of people there to help spread the word. And then our first official event is April 13th. We're just going to do some hors d'oeuvres and whatnot. But we have a website. We have a retail shopping site. We have a donations page. And we're really just taking baby steps right now, getting up and running. But it's something that's very exciting for us.
Well, we hope our listeners get out and check out How Big Is Your Brave. Now, my questions for you are going to take you back to the instructor days. I've got a movement afoot. I think of myself as a golf evangelist. And how do we get people to show up for a lesson or show up to practice and worry more about shaving strokes than gaining yardage?
Well, quite honestly, we have one of the best best academies on property. It's called Every Ball Counts. You know, it goes back to quality training versus quantity. You always see people, they're on the range, they're going to hit 10 buckets of balls, and they're really not working on anything. But if they would just work on a specific task or a specific skill set, with a very few balls in a very confined and concentrated practice area and session, they're going to improve that much faster. So it's all about strokes gained, and Every Ball Counts out at our estate golf course is by far the leading instruction entity that focuses in on specific areas of improvement, not just the overall game, which is, it's actually refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, we're all familiar with the juiced ball era and the juiced player era in Major League Baseball, where someone said chicks dig the long ball. It can't just be that. Why is it that we as amateur golfers, even high handicappers, are just, and the club manufacturers, let's be honest, they're in cahoots too, are just pushing length instead of shaving scores? Where does this come from?
Quite honestly, I think it comes from the fact that, you know, golf has struggled for a little bit, and they've all, over the years, have tried to add some sex appeal into the game.
Yeah.
And you look back over history, and the guys that played the best had the best short game. But as the golf industry started to wane a little bit, they needed to jazz it up, you know, kind of like putting a NASCAR face on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, was Zach Johnson any less sexy than Dustin Johnson when he was holding the claret jug?
No, not at all. And that's what people have to realize, that it's all about the foundation, not necessarily just the makeup.
Yeah. So if you were to advise our listeners about, you know, they've got an hour, they're gonna leave work on a Friday, they're gonna put their golf gear on, and they've got an hour before they have to go to carpool after their kids' soccer practice. How should they be dividing that time at the practice facility?
First of all, they should be doing some sort of stretching and warm up, and then focus in on a specific aspect of their game that they feel is the weakest. And they can do that simply by recording putts and approaches and number balls in the fairway and everything else just on their normal scorecard. And you can see your weakness. It's pretty glaring, and that's what you need to focus on. But make every shot count. You can't just walk to the putting green and hit 10 putts haphazardly. You have to go through your pre-shot, your routine, and do things repetitively over and over again to get it in where you can perform at that same level when the pressure's on and your buddy's staring you down for a $20 bill.
Yeah, I mean, and probably pace yourself a little bit. I mean, just because you bought the large bucket. If you go to the practice range for an hour and it's not 90 degrees and you leave and you're soaked through your clothing, you're probably practicing golf incorrectly. Am I right?
You are absolutely right. I mean, there's a time to work out, and that's in the gym. But when you're on the practice range, it should be about functional movement with your golf swing, and it shouldn't be work. It should be just a very even-paced, focused time span in your afternoon.
Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
That is true.
Well, Jane, thank you so much for joining us, talking to us about How Big Is Your Brave, talking us through how to improve our practice routine, and I guess more than anything at this point, getting us ready for the Honda Classic next week. And good luck with the tournament, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, and it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care now.
Bye now.